produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 8. Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 8, beginning at verse number 5. Hey, sugar. Amen. Matthew chapter 8, verse number 5. When you got it, say, I'm there. If you're still turning, say, hold on. Amen. Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 8, verse number 5, it says, and when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou should have come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into out of darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of the teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. The word of God for the people of God. I want to tag the text from this thought, Lord, just say the word. Just say the word, Lord. I just need you to say the word. I don't want to make a whole fuss about it. Just say the word. And I know everything will be all right. My brothers and sisters, it is intriguing to know that words have power. That's not enough to shout about right there. Words also have numerous meanings. Some words have powerful or positive meanings, while other words have negative meanings. There are words that are used to encourage and enlighten. And then there are those words that bring discouragement and distress. To my amazement, words are captivating because they build our thinking as well as our vocabulary. One of the amazing things this week that happened to me in my Hebrew class Tuesday is to find out how different words that we see was not really originated in that form. When you look at different words like heart, mind, body, and soul, in the original language that the Bible was written in, Hebrew, it lets us know that there were different meanings than what we understand today. For instance, if you look at the word heart, you think about that little thing pumping in your chest. But in the original language, Hebrew in the Bible, in the Pentateuch, if you will, you will discover that when it talks about the heart, it talks really literally about the mind. Do I have some witnesses here? And in our culture, we use words loosely because we really have not sat down long enough to learn real meanings about words and their original context. And so we get a lot of things mixed up because we become ignorant to the fact that words have great meaning. And when you know words, I like words, y'all. When you really get down into those words, you begin to get a deep sense of God more on your heart because you know him and you see him in a better light. For you see, no doubt the Bible allows us to know that in the beginning was the Word was, come on, talk to me here, was God, and the Word dwelled among us. And when you have the Word, you have everything that you need. When you have the Word, you don't get discouraged as much as the world gets discouraged, but you know that you can just speak the Word over your life and things will get better. Do I have some help in the room? Look at your neighbor and say, your words got power. Here in Matthew's gospel, we are presented with a section of scripture that emphasizes the power and authority of Jesus Christ and his words. First, you know Jesus, Mary's baby, born in Bethlehem, the Son of God. You know Jesus, don't you? Jesus has the power to just speak a word and things happen. And here in this text, we see at first, Matthew presents Jesus' authority teaching in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5 through 7. Then Matthew showed that Jesus had the authority to say what he said in the Sermon on the Mount by performing miracles, showing his power over sickness, suffering, sin, sadness, and even Satan. The first three of these miracles are all healing miracles, and all three are healings a very unlikely type of people. They're not ordinary people, brothers and sisters, but they are extraordinary, if you will, because these healings include a leper, a Gentile, and a woman. Lepers, Gentiles, and women were all shunned by the Jewish people in that day. They were not allowed to participate fully in worship at the temple, and yet all three of these were recipients of God's gracious and miraculous power as Jesus healed them from their illnesses. This miraculous movement here in our text not only demonstrates the centurion's faith, but it also demonstrates Jesus' power to speak a thing in existence and it make it happen right then and there. In other words, Jesus is not does not necessarily have to be in the place where you want them to be. But if you just ask him, Lord, say the word, you can experience God's movement in and throughout your very life. Well, three things that beg to be preached in the text as we look at this sermonic spotlight, just say the word. Number one, we see the centurion's request. Let the church shout the centurion's request. I'm not making it up. It's in verses 5-9. We just read it. This miracle takes place at Capernaum, Chris, which was a small fishing town located on the north side of the Sea of Galilee, about 100 miles north of Jerusalem. It had a population of about 1,500 people, and it was the hometown of a number of Jesus' disciples, including Peter, John, James, Andrew, and Matthew. Jesus was originally from Nazareth. However, Capernaum became his new hometown and was the center of many of his activities and his miracles. Now, as Jesus enters into this familiar place that he is frequent with, this centurion comes to him with a striking request. This request is not for him. But this request is for his servant. Now let me pause here parenthetically and tell us that sometimes you need to forget about yourself and learn how to pray for other folk. Come on, is my mic on? I know that's unorthodox for some of us because we go to God and we say, Lord, gimme, 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 gimme. And we don't remember that we should pray for others before we pray for ourselves. But in the text, this is a shining example of how we should be intercessory prayer warriors for our brothers and our sisters. That word intercessory means you should stand in the gap for somebody else. His servant laid at home paralyzed and in a terrible shape, and we're not told the reason for his paralysis, brothers and sisters, or how long he had been paralyzed. But the Gospel of Luke tells us in Luke 7:2 that he was so critically conditioned that he was at the point of death. This emphasizes in this passage the servant's need of healing and need of a great miracle. In fact, the healing is just a small portion of this text. The real attention is on the centurion himself and how he had enough faith to forget about himself and pray for somebody else. I need to tell us this morning that sometimes, let the church shout sometimes, it's just good for us to learn how to pray for other people. I told our new members orientation class this morning that listen, we got to be sensitive to the needs of others, especially if we belong to the family of God. We are all family, y'all. And the way we treat one another is a direct result of how we value our Heavenly Father God. Do I have some help in the room? And so we got to remember, church, we got to remember we are all many members, but we one body. Say that with me. We are all many members, but one body. In order for us to make a request, we have to have a righteous spirit and make sure that we are entangled in the will of the Lord. We just cannot act any type of way and think we're going to ask God for stuff and he's going to grant it unto us. No, we got to make sure that we seek the Lord and make sure, there it is, our heart is in the right place. Amen. So this centurion soldier comes to Jesus asking for help, and it reminds us that all of us need some encouragement every now and again. The centurion comes to Jesus, and he asks him for help, and he says, listen, Lord, this ain't even about me. But my servant is at the crib sick. and about to die. Can I make it plain? They said, call your family, make funeral arrangements, because you about to die. And they gave up on the servant, but somehow or another, the centurion heard about Jesus and what he was able to do. And every now and again, when you know what the Lord is able to do, you don't panic and you don't get into a frenzy when things are in a terrible state. You fall down on your knees and you make your request be made known unto God. Church, we need to learn how to start praying more. We got to start learning how to pray more. That's our secret weapon. When you pray and your heart is right, the Bible says God will not withhold no good thing from you. Y'all hear what I'm saying? The request that was made by the centurion wasn't a direct request. However, Jesus knew just what he needed. In verses 8 and 9, something strange takes place because it looks as if the centurion is going crazy. First, he asked Jesus to heal his servant who is not there present on the scene. And then when Jesus agrees to go and heal the servant, it looks as if the centurion doesn't want Jesus to do what he's asking him to do. The centurion replied in verse number 8, Lord, I do not deserve you to come under my roof. But just say the word, and my servant will be healed. Two things stand out to me about the centurion's behavior in these verses. Brothers and sisters, first of all, the centurion knew his position, but he also knew and recognized Jesus' position and his power. In other words, he knew what the Lord was able to do. And he realized if he talked to the Lord, talked to the right person, and make sure he reverence his position and honor his power, that Jesus will make his request a reality. First of all, he knew his place. The centurion does not come bossing Jesus, telling him what to do, but he comes humbly asking for help. Even when Jesus offers to come and heal his servant, he tells Jesus, Lord, I ain't even worthy for you to even come to my house. He says, in other words, my life is jacked up and I'm not even deserving of you to come in my house. But if you can just please have mercy on me. And I don't know about y'all, but when you ask the Lord to have mercy on you, God know how to fix whatever is broke in your life. He doesn't block Jesus from coming to his home, but rather the centurion shows great faith in Jesus to suggest that Jesus doesn't even have to waste time traveling to his house. And there ought to be some believers that have that same kind of faith to say, I know we are not meeting in worship centers every day of the week, but if you can just go by and say a word, I know that everything will be all right. We got to make our requests made known unto God. Not only do we have to make our requests known unto God, brothers and sisters, we have to be prepared for Jesus' response. Be prepared for Jesus' response. It's right there in the text, verses 10 through 12. Jesus is astonished in a good way at the centurion's faith. He is astonished specifically because the centurion, watch this, is a Gentile, and yet he has shown greater faith than anyone Jesus has found in Israel thus far. That's a teaching point there. Isn't it strange? You got all these people that call themselves Christians. Isn't it strange that you got all these folk going to church online and calling on the name of the Lord and coming into the church, and we can't even get along with each other? Is my mic on? We can't even come together to do the will and the work of the Lord. Isn't it strange that you go down to North Memphis and you go on the street corners and you get more love out there? Saw him the other day passing the bottle around. You get you some. You get you some. You get you some. But we in the house of God, we so stingy, we don't want nobody to have more than we got. Boy, don't you be quiet right there. You're going to get yourself away. Amen. We got this thing twisted, church. We have put ourselves in the mix and we've forgotten about what the Lord really wants us to do. Do you hear what I'm saying? Jesus said, listen, I ain't found nobody like this brother in all of Israel. This brother got it right because he's a Gentile, but he's not afraid to make his request made known unto God. Now let me give you a little background, and I'm done. I'm not going to hold you long today. But the Gentiles and the Jews didn't even have no dealings with one another. The Jews thought they were uppity. Come on, talk to me here. They looked their nose down on folk. Looked at them as if they didn't have nothing going on. But this brother said, I don't even care about all that. I don't care how you're going to look at me. I'm at least trying to get some help. Can I tell you, when you're in dire straits, you don't care what nobody has to say. I know y'all ain't never been there, so you can't relate. But let me give you my testimony. When you're in dire straits, you ain't too proud to beg. Come on. But you allow your request to be made known so that at least you can hear something from the Lord. Do I have a witness in the room? He gave his response. And Jesus did not hesitate. But he said, listen, I will go. And I'll heal your servant. Mark chapter 6, we read that Jesus was rejected by the people in his own hometown. Sometimes, brothers and sisters, the people that get so familiar with you don't appreciate you. Well, I just said something. Let me rewind the tape. I said, sometimes. When you're doing the will of the Lord, Jesus said the people in his hometown rejected him, and it's still happening today. Sometime when you're doing stuff at the house, people at the house don't appreciate you. You have to go everywhere else and they pat you on the back and appreciate you and appreciate what God is doing in your life. But think it not strange, brothers and sisters, because even though it happened in Jesus' heart, he never stopped working and doing the Father's will. In Mark's gospel, he is astonished at the Jews' lack of faith. And in other words, what causes Jesus to be astonished was that this brother really shouldn't have had the faith that he had. But he came to the Lord the right way. Let me tell somebody in this house today, we got to learn how to come to God right. And we got to learn how to come up in his house right. So that we can receive something from the Lord. Can I tell you? If you don't put nothing in, you ain't getting nothing out. Like you go to the bank, you ain't putting nothing in your bank account, and you stick that ATM card in that machine, and it come out insufficient funds. Come on here. That's craziness. And sometimes we allow our minds to be retracted, if you will, and we think we can get something out of nothing. We got to remember that our participation and faith is needed in our own miracles. Hebrews 11:6 tells us that without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of him that diligently seek him. Faith pleases God, church. Faith pleases God. No, I'm almost done. But we have a false sense of faith because we allow fear to rule our lives each and every day. But when you have faith, you forsake all others and you put your full commitment and trust in the Lord. You know, I listen to people a lot. They say, I know, but you know that but will mess you up. Amen, somebody. But there is no but in God. There is no failure in God. If God told you to do a thing, and if you pray to God and take God along with you, he will make everything all right. Sometimes we cut off our own blessings by saying, I know it's going to be all right, but. No, we got to remember words have power. Jesus paints a portrait of heaven here as a great feast with all believers from throughout history and all around the world joining together. Jesus commended the centurion for his faith. The centurion came looking for healing for somebody else. But in the process, watch what happened. He found heaven for himself. Faith pleases God. And faith in Christ alone will save your life. Well, two things I've tried to suggest to you in this sermonic spotlight. Number one, we see the centurion's request. Say that with me, the centurion's request. Secondly, we see the response of Jesus. Say that with me, the response of Jesus. Thirdly, not only do we see the centurion's request and the response of Jesus, but thirdly, we see that the centurion receives a great reward. It's right there in verse number 13. Put number 13 back on the screen, if you will. Number 13, and Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. Because of the faith of the centurion, both the servant and the centurion got what they so desperately needed. God worked in response to his faith. Yes, notice it is the centurion's faith that secures the healing for the servant. Nothing is said about the servant's faith or lack thereof. However, the servant received the reward based on the belief that Jesus had the power and authority to just speak it and it would come to pass. Jesus' words to the centurion are not an absolute promise for all healing for all people at all time, but rather a commendation of faith that he possessed within himself. Notice here, if you will, that the centurion didn't presume that Jesus was going to heal him. Rather, he submitted himself to Jesus' authority. And he came to him humbly as he knew how. Distance isn't a barrier for the Lord. I don't care where you are. Because God is omnipresent. Because he is everywhere present at the same time. He can just speak the word. And we can see the results and the manifestation of his word. Let me tell you, you don't have to send the Lord nowhere. They used to pray prayers like, Lord, go down to the hospital. He already there. Lord, go down to the prison. He already there too. Lord, go and look in on my mama. He already there. And when you know that distance is not a problem for the Lord, you'll start being prepared for your deliverance, and you'll say to the Lord, Lord, all I need you to do is just say the word. I need to ask you this morning, I'm done. Have you any rivers that seem uncrossable? I know you got some stuff going on in your life that you're trying to figure out. You ain't got to figure it out on your own. All you got to do is go to the Lord and say, Lord, you just speak. And I know everything will be all right. Have you any mountains that you cannot tunnel through? Can I tell you? God specializes. Oh, preach, pastor. God specializes in things impossible. That means whatever you're going through that's seeming impossible for you, it's just right for God to work out. All you got to do is have some faith like the centurion. Go to God humbly and say, Lord, you work it out. Somebody here know God can. And God will. I'm through. I'm done. The doors is open. The doors is open. But you don't have to stay in the same shape you're in. You don't have to struggle with that thing that you're struggling with. All you got to do is learn how to take it to the Lord in prayer. I promise you, I'm not trying to get excited, but something is brewing in my spirit. Somebody here know God will. I'm through, I'm through, I'm through. Somebody shout, God is able. Yes, he's able. And when we pull on the ability of God, he will bring things to pass in our lives. Ain't that right, church? Just ask him this week, Lord, you just say the word. I'm not going to tell you what to do. Lord, I'm coming to you in distress. I'm not going to tell you who to touch. Lord, I'm coming to you on behalf of my brother, my sister. I'm coming unto you. I need you to touch them. You don't even have to be where they are. Just say the word. Cancer dry up. Lord, just say the word. Sugar diabetes will get better. Lord, just say the word. Lupus will get better. Lord, just say the word. Heart disease will get better. Lord, just say the word. My boss will stop riding my back. Lord, just say the word. The church will start getting in order. Lord, say the word. People will start loving people better. Lord, just say the word. Somebody shout, Lord, say the word. Shout, Lord, say the word. The Lord will hear our faintest cry. He will answer by and by. Somebody in the room, somebody in the room, somebody in the room. You need a Savior. Come on now. Come on right now. Come on right now. Man, woman, boy, girl, candidate for baptism, Christian experience, and no bi-letter. But if you're in this room and you need a Savior, I would not leave here knowing I needed a Savior and walk away from this holy place and not give my Lord a try. You've given everything else a try. You've given him a try, her a try. You've given them a try. You've given the bottle a try. You've given substances a try. You've given family members a try, friends a try, and everything and everybody that let you down. Why not give the Lord a try today? I'm a living witness. He'll change your life. He'll make you brand new.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.